the heart of a father. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4 to 7. Deuteronomy chapter 32, from verse 4 to 7. He is the rock. His works are perfect. I'm reading from the NIV version. By now, you all know already. He is the rock. His works are perfect. And all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Verse 5. They are corrupt and not his children. To their shame, they are warped and crooked generation. Verse 6. Is this the way you repay the Lord? You foolish and unwise people, is he not your father, your creator, who made you and formed you? Verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. And see what he says. Ask your father, and he will tell you, your elders, and they will explain to you. If you see what happened in verse 4, you will notice that God was described as a rock. And God, first of all, is our Heavenly Father. And so an example of what a father should be. He is our rock. And he went further to explain every beautiful thing about his just, his faithfulness, and how he's upright and just in all his ways. But unfortunately, in verse 5, we see that his people, his children, are corrupt and they misbehave as if he is not their father. And in verse 6, there was a very deep question Moses was asking. Is this the way you repay the Lord, who is your father? You foolish and unwise people. He asked the question, is he not your father? Who made you and formed you? And in verse 7, something interesting happened there. He now tells the children, remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. For them to be able to get what he was saying in verse 7, he now refers them to their father. And he says, ask your father. And he will tell you. Why? Because your father is supposed to be the custodian of history. Your father is supposed to tell you the things that this our rock has done. So that when you begin to miss your way, the best way to get it is to go back to your father. Miles Monroe, who I listen to and read very much, said something. Of course, he's of blessed memory. He said something very profound, and I want to start with that this morning. He said, the greatest spiritual, social, economic, and psychological curse on all humanity is fatherlessness. I repeat, the greatest spiritual, social, economic, and psychological curse on all of humanity is fatherlessness. A generation that refuses to honor their fathers is a generation that has no cover. And interestingly, in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, if you will, turn with me, please. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, the NLT version. Malachi 4, verse 6. Interestingly, you will see that when Christ comes, the very prophecy of Malachi about Christ, if you look at the NLT version, it says, he will turn the hearts of the parents, this place, the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, Or else I will come and strike the land with a total destruction. Give me the NLT version. NLT version, please. Okay, I like this. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you today that all the problems you see in our world today is connected to the absence of fathers in our lives. All the problems, psychological, emotional, social, spiritual, whatever it is that is a problem, is the absence or the lack of a father figure. And I'll prove that to you. Who is a father? The word father means Abba. Abba means source and sustainer. A father is a source and is a sustainer. And I think that should be very obvious, because without a father is a custodian of seeds. Without a father, there can't be procreation. Fathers are usually the custodians of seeds. And so any generation that neglects or dishonors their father is begging for a curse. And unfortunately, many nations are already under curses. Unfortunately, many children are already under curses. Many families, unfortunately, are under curses. Why? Because of the way they mistreated and dishonored their fathers. Take note of this. The tree is as good as its roots. The tree is as good as its roots. The value of a house is in the foundation. I'm sure you know that all of this is trying to point to fatherhood. The roots represents the father. The foundation represents the father. The value of a house, this house you see, as big as this. Even if you see a shop, a very small building. In fact, I was shocked when I was building. I didn't even know that fences have foundations. Even the fence you see. For a fence to stand, there must be foundation. So it means that for a family to stand steady, a father is needed. The quality of an offspring is determined by its genes that are transferred. The quality of an offspring is determined by transferable genes, and these genes come from the father. Listen, the condition of the roots affects the life of the plants. The condition of the roots affects the life of the plant, which means if the father is not steady, the plant will suffer. And the strength of the foundation affects the value of the house. The strength of the foundation affects the value of the house. I'm saying this to say that unfortunately, the foundation is a very silent and unseen part of the building. Since I walked into this church, I have never seen the foundation of this house. True? But some of you saw it when it was being built. And so you can tell us what happened here. But someone who just walked in will not know that there is a foundation. At times, we take it for granted that there is a foundation. I'm going somewhere. In fact, that is the way it is for men. Most times, men don't speak of their issues and their struggles. They don't get to blow their trumpets. In fact, a real man doesn't talk about his achievements to the family most times. I'm telling you. If a mother goes through pain, of course, I'm not here to compare gender. Of course, you know that. But if a mother goes through a little challenge, what happens? What happens? Because it's an issue, he will cry, shout, this is happening. But many men are carrying burdens Heavy burdens. In fact, you will need to grow up as a man at some point to understand what your dad dealt with. Every boy here, every man here, we know. But your dad most times won't tell you the things he had to do. Many of you didn't even know that your daddy paid your school fees. You didn't even know. You didn't even know that the food prepared, daddy had to bring them on. You are not even aware. That is how the life of a man is. So most times we don't see them. You come to a house, everything is stable, and you don't know. You believe it's normal. You think because it's working, so you don't appreciate the amount of work that goes into it. But I came to tell you that fathers are powerful, very powerful. Listen, fathers are very, very powerful. And today, I have chosen in this church to celebrate them a little. Because most times we don't celebrate them. In fact, every time, most times it's castigation and all the things they are not getting right. Meanwhile, there is a lot that they are getting right. There is a lot they get right. But we don't celebrate them because most times they don't even talk about it. You just look and do your part and move on. No man goes to tell the whole world the issues he's dealing with in his house. He just manages it and keeps quiet. Fathers are powerful. And here's why. A rotten root destroys the plants. That's the first point you must note. I was trying to draw a comparison between a plant, a building. That's the root of a plant, the foundation of a building to the fathers. It will make you understand and appreciate what your father did growing up. My job today is to open your eyes to the sacrifices of your dad. He may not have been very perfect. He may have his mistakes. But there are sacrifices that went underground that you're not aware of. Fathers are powerful, and that is why I'm saying it. Number one, a rotten root destroys the plant. Two, a defective foundation affects the whole house. If you see a crack on any wall or any building, for civil engineers, they will tell you that you can trace it to the foundation. True of us. True of us. Watering the roots gives life to the whole plant and the fruits. I am very passionate about the boy child and about men because I know when I teach a man, I have taught a house. Trust me, when a man reads and gets knowledge, it impacts on his children. If a man stands correctly, the whole house will stand. So if you came from a house that you think is orderly, many a times because your dad never explained to you, because we are not giving too much talk, you didn't appreciate his sacrifices. Respect for the foundation is protection for the house. That means we must live here with a new respect for our fathers. Because I feel very strongly that we have not respected them well enough. So quickly, what are the role of fathers? What are the role of fathers? Number one, please take note, it will help you. The father holds the family to his source, just like a root holds the tree to the ground. A father holds the family to his source. My text this morning brought us to understand that when people began to misbehave in Israel those days, Moses had to refer them back to their fathers so that their fathers could tell them the history. So I don't think that this is how it has always been. Fathers are usually custodians of history. So a father has a responsibility to hold the family to his source. That is why I tell my children, all of you must serve the Lord, whether you like it or not. As your father, I have covenanted you already. Without your permission, you will serve the God of your fathers. Many of us who are Christians today, you may not take it seriously. But I bet you the reason why you can serve Jesus today is because your father showed you an example. If you think he didn't do so much, but at least he insisted that you went to church, it is something. If he didn't know so much, but at least he insisted that the morning devotion and the night devotion was a ritual in your house. Those things count for something, trust me. Number two role of a father. The father anchors their family to the rock. The father anchors the family to the rock. What is that rock? Christ. The father has a responsibility to anchor his family on this rock. Of course, I'm speaking to fathers as well. It's possible that your own earthly father maybe missed it at this point, but nevertheless, you have a chance to correct it. It is our role to make sure that our family is anchored to the rock that is Christ. Number three, the father receives nutrients for the health of the family. The father receives nutrients for the health of the family. When a father is praying, when a father decides to be spiritually stable, he's actually looking, getting nutrients for the family. Every time he appears before God, he brings the family. If you remember Aaron, when he was made a priest, he had so many things as part of his regalia. Those things were supposed to be a symbol that he brought the whole of Israel to God. When he enters into his priestly office, he carries the whole of Israel, the whole tribes of Israel, into that place. That is how it is for a man. When a man goes into God's presence, he brings his family along. He brings nutrients to the family. Four, a father provides life to the family. You may not know it, but your father gave you life. Of course, it's obvious, but at times you forget. So I needed to remind you today that your father gave you life. Number five, the father guarantees fruitfulness to the family. If you look at the roots and discover what I said, the moment the root dies, everything dies. That is how it works for the father. If the father is stable, everything is stable. So as far as the father is standing, the family is standing well because he gives life to the family. Many people's homes were going well until their fathers began to misbehave. The moment the fathers began to misbehave, before you knew it, the whole house turned upside down. I told us, I think on Wednesday, that men by nature are supposed to be gatekeepers. Men are supposed to be guardians. They have a responsibility. Even in the realm of the spirit, heaven understands their authority. So when a man stands well, it means the family will stand well. When a man stands well, everybody in the family aligns. Look up. I said to say that times you will see in a family the children are doing well, everybody's doing well, everybody takes it for granted that they are doing well. Suddenly, the man derails. The moment he derails, the first thing you will notice is that your wife will fall sick. I'm telling you spiritual things. Your wife falls sick. Before you know, your children who are doing well in school will start misbehaving. It all stems from a father who misbehaved. Now look up. I'm now saying that the life you have lived to this point, it means your father played a major role. It means there was something he did right for you to turn out well. So if you have turned out well, it means your father deserves some accolades. Can you clap for our fathers, please? Thank you very much. The father protects the family. When there is a hurricane or when there is a flood, you will notice if the root is well rooted on the ground, the flood will not take the plants. True? Most times when the storms come, many trees will have to depend on their roots. Have you seen it happen? The tree will be shifted this way, but once the root is steady, the plant will be steady. I say again, if your family was steady, if there was anything good you saw in your family, trust me, your dad was a major contributor to those things. It is seldom said, nobody talks about it, but it's important that on this day, we let you know that your father is not a failure like you are thinking. Many times we look at their faults, we look at the things they didn't do well. But I came to call your attention to the fact that your father did something right. That is why that family had that structure. Your father did something right. That is why the system of the home was stable for you to grow and thrive. If he didn't do well, your family would have collapsed. Many families went through storms. As I'm talking, think about it. Suddenly, daddy lost his job. Mommy lost her job. Something happened. But look at you. You are a graduate. You still came out right. There must be something the man did well. There must be something he did well. Glory be to God. The father walks, I'm still talking the role of fathers. The father walks behind or under the scene to keep the family together. The father walks behind or under the scene. I keep saying it. Men don't talk much. We don't talk about our achievements. Nobody brags. My children, do you know I'm the one that brought the money for food? How many men do that? Do you know I paid for the school fees? We don't do all those things. So at times, people take it for granted. So men are usually working under and behind the scene to keep the family together. Now look at this quote again from Miles Monroe. He says, there is no substitute for a father. I'm going right into it now. There is no substitute for a father. Teachers, guardians, and anyone else cannot replace the role of a father. There is no substitute. Teachers, guardians, none of them can play the role of a father. Who is a father? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 to 16 is a very important scripture I want us to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. 1 Corinthians 4. Media, please get my picture ready. You will soon put it up for me. Especially the one with black. 1 Corinthians 4, 15 to 16. Are you there? Okay, beautiful. Even though you have 10,000 guardians, are you seeing it? In Christ, you do not have what? Talk to me now. You do not have what? For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Look at how he became a father. Verse 16. Therefore, I urge you to do what? Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Let me show you what fatherhood looks like. Please put up my picture. Media, can you help me? I want you to see this. Please put it up. Thank you very much. You see what you have there is the whole essence of fatherhood. If you remove imitation and being available, you don't have fathers. Without imitation, fatherhood is incomplete. A father is one who is present, observable, and can be emulated. A father is one who is what? Present, observable, and can be emulated. You don't do father by proxy. So this is now talking to the men. When you want to father someone, you must be present. It's sacrifice. Every son looks up to his father. And part of the things that have made many men, as in many men, created many broken men today is because they lived with an absentee father. Well, my question is, if your dad was not present, must you replicate the same to your children? This is now the crux of the matter. If your dad wasn't available, that is quite sad. But unfortunately, we should not. It should end in your generation. Many fathers believe that what they need to give to their children is just to provide money for them. Just to provide. You need to be available. You need to do certain things. I told my wife, one of my greatest visions in life is to father my children so well. Oh God, I have a vision to create memories in their hearts. I want to, as much as possible, create memories. That's the idea. I want to be able to play football with my son. I want to be able to play with my girls. I want to be able to dance with them, do things with them, create memories that they will live to tell their own children. That is how healthy children are created and trained. I put up that picture to show you that you cannot do fatherhood from far. No. You will have to be committed. There was a question asked certain times, some places where they said, how many people have attended, what's it called, their children's school this year? Is it PTA meetings or? To be honest, in that room, all the fathers put their hands down. Can I ask, how many men has attended PTA meeting this year for the last 1 year? Yeah. Okay, open day. Yes, thank you. How many men have attended open day? Raise your hands. Raise it where now? Clap for them, please. Clap for them. Yes, I celebrate you. I honor you. I have attended. I noticed something. When you attend those kind of meetings, even their graduation ceremonies, you will notice that you are alone, sir. Two of us. It's only late. It will look like it's a women, women empowerment meeting. Why? Many men are busy making money. The need for fatherhood. The need for fatherhood. We need fathers because God sees fatherhood as a solution to all human, personal, social, and national problems. I've said it already. That is how God sees it. Now, take note of these thoughts. Honoring your father protects you. Honoring your father protects you, but dishonoring them exposes you to a curse. No, ask, listen. Honoring your father protects your life. But dishonoring them does what? Exposes you to a curse. Either you know it or not. What is honor? What is honor? Honor simply means respect, esteem, encourage, appreciate, elevate, magnify, celebrate, to brag on. To recognize your dad. Honor means to esteem him, appreciate him, elevate him, magnify him, give him the place of relevance. Because there are sacrifices that brought you where you are. Now listen, you must honor your dad irrespective of what he did or did not do right. I repeat, on this day, I want to encourage you. You must deliberately honor your dad irrespective of what he did or didn't do right. Listen, no man is perfect. I repeat, including you. You are not perfect. You will soon have children. You will soon see the limitations you have fathering them. If you say daddy wasn't available, trust me, that was the level of what he knew. Nobody taught him. He knew that was the level he knew. And in his mind, he needed to provide for the family. That was why he looked like he wasn't available. So honoring your dad is a divine obligation. We must not look down on them. If you do, you will attract a curse to your life. I'm being honest. Ephesians chapter 6. What does it say? Honor what? For this is what? Is the only commandment with what? A promise. that your days may be long. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Verse 3, please. Thank you. Verse 3. So that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. If you want to enjoy long life on the earth, you must what? You must do what? You must honor your father and your mother. If you want to enjoy long life on the earth, you must honor your father and your mother. Let me quickly tell you and warn us, and that's where we're anchored today, how to dishonor your father. I want to say this here so that you will learn never to do it anymore. How to dishonor your father. What are the things we do that dishonors our fathers? Number one, familiarity. Don't get too familiar with your dad as to forget that he's your father. Never call your dad with his first name. Don't ever do it. Never ever call him, Polo, this is your dad. Don't ever do it. No matter how advanced the world goes, don't be advanced to that foolishness. That is dishonor. And I don't just mean only your physical, your biological fathers. I mean even your spiritual fathers. Don't ever. Number two, treat them as common. Don't ever treat your dad as common. As a second way to dishonor him. Don't take him for granted. I see many children do it. I've seen a lot of things, trust me. I see people treat their parents as common, as if these people are nothing. I have to teach my children, when I come back from work, don't cross your leg and sit in a parlor as if nobody walked in. Don't do that. You must learn to honor me. When I come in as your dad, you will learn to stand up and greet well. Three, disrespect them. And you know that speaking to them very rudely, after all, nothing will happen. You have more money than them now, is it not? But many of us don't realize that very soon you become someone else's father. Is it not? I heard some women are praying that their mother-in-laws will die. And I'm looking at them. You are praying that your mother-in-law will die. And just imagine how many years from now you become somebody else's mother-in-law. God will give us wisdom in the name of Jesus. Number four, take them for granted. Don't do it. Number five, minimize the anointing. Don't do it. One of the things my wife has learned to do very well is to appreciate the anointing on my head. I told us on Wednesday here that you as a man may not be anointed for the world. You may not be anointed for the church. You may not be anointed for the community, but for your house, you have an anointing for that house. I'm telling you. In the realm of the spirit, your word is law. If you understand what it means to be a father and a husband, your word is law. If you tell your wife your day is blessed, no demon can turn it. I'm not joking. I know it so well. If you tell your children you are blessed, part of the reasons why I think my life has enjoyed some measure of blessing is because I honor my dad like a hero. I have seen my dad bless me countless times. When God blessed me with a second dad, my father-in-law, I honored him so well that I've seen the man bless me from his heart. There is a reason why a car can have an accident and you'll be exempted, sir. I am too blessed to die anyhow. I'm not joking. I know it. Ancient mantles are on my head. Ancient ones. Not from the bishops, you know. From fathers that has placed them on me. And I've trained my son, seriously training him. Learn to honor. It is honor that makes him pour the blessing upon you. Many children, you are here, and every day what you elicit from your father is curses. Why? You feel he failed you, so you keep insulting. Don't do it. Don't do it. Number six, magnifying their weaknesses. I want to mention, this is very important. As you grow, you will see the weaknesses of your father. Please don't magnify it. How many of us remember Ham in the Bible? Ham. Who remembers Ham? Ham is a son of Noah. We used to do Bible stories those days now. Ham is a son of Noah. Ham saw the nakedness, right, of the father. Is he not? Instead of covering it, what did he do? He went out to go and tell him, hey, Shem, Japheth, come and see you. Come and see this drunken man. And they came. They couldn't, those boys, they couldn't see. They went from back, use what? To cover the man. When Noah, even though he was drunk, came back to his senses, what happened? They told him that Ham was laughing. He placed a curse on Ham. Many theologians say that is why Africa is what it is today. Because Ham is the black man amongst them. You've not heard it. Why? If you dishonor your father, you can be cursed. And I'm saying whether he says it or not, you can be cursed. Number seven, never compare yourself with them. Don't compare yourself with your father. Don't do it. It's a mistake. Don't do it. That is why I pity children who come online to insult that Adeboye. I pity them. Don't, listen, don't ever join them. Some people are complaining that he didn't protest. The last one, he didn't protest. And someone asked, you are waiting for an 84-year-old man to come and protest for your future. You are not serious yet. You have the right to talk that, say that at 84, the man did not come out to protest. And you are talking about it. I trust God that they are not part of Noah's ark. We don't dishonor our fathers here. Never compare yourself with them. And finally, treat them like your equals. Never ever treat your father like your equal. He's not your equal. I'm saying both your spiritual fathers and both your biological father, they are not your equals. Don't treat them like as such. If you are smart, honor them so well that they will breathe in and breathe out a blessing. Honor them so well. Today is one of those opportunities. Get home. If you've not planned it, buy a gift. Do something to honor your dad. Let him bless you from within. When he blesses you from within, nothing causes you. Many a times, the blessings you are looking for is not here, or is not in the mouth of your pastor. It could just be in the mouth of your father. You cannot be insulting your dad and want your pastor to be blessing you and to work. It won't work. I don't want to talk about wives today. Many wives respect the pastors. You need to greet, but you dishonor your husband, who is like a somewhat of a kind of father in that sense. We are a people of honor, and we must honor our fathers. If you are in this service today, and you want to give your life to Jesus, if you want to return your life back to the utmost father, the biggest of all fathers, this is a very good opportunity to do that. If you are here in the service, and you want to give your life to Christ, you are that person I want to pray for first. Just raise your hands up. I want to pray for you. If you are in this service and you want to know Jesus, you want to be reconciled to your heavenly Father. Because the whole essence of this celebration is fatherhood. Nobody can father you the way Jesus does. In fact, at times, your earthly father could even disappoint you. But the one who is faithful and just is God. I want to pray for you if you're in this service. If you're like that, outside and inside, anywhere. You want to give your life to him. Return your life back to your father. Anybody like that? Can we close our eyes? Can we tell the Lord, have mercy on us? Anywhere we have disobeyed and dishonored our fathers, can you ask him for mercy? Tell him, Jesus, please have mercy. In any way, we have dishonored our fathers in the past. That is in the past, Lord. We are taking a new leaf. We are making a new decision. We won't do that anymore. We are not the children of dishonor. We honor our fathers here. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, oh God. Have mercy upon us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Finally, I want to pray for us, all fathers, please, in the house. Can you just please stand up? Let me pray for you. Church, stretch your hands towards these men, these wonderful men. Stretch your hands towards them. Every father, every man in the house, stand up. You are a father. If Father John Akinjo is the father. I don't know what you're waiting for. Stand up. Please stretch your hands towards all the men in the house. Let's pray for them. Bless them. Ask the Lord to succor them. Ask the Lord to succor them. My wife usually tells me, she said, at times, everyone comes to you for their problems. Who do you now go to for your own problem? That is the challenge of many fathers. We don't have anybody to run to. Everybody runs to you for their problems. So you don't have anybody to run to. Can you bless them? Ask that the Lord will strengthen them. Church, make sure you're praying. These guys are the foundation of our homes. If they fail, the whole house will collapse. I'm telling you. Pray for them from your hearts. Ask that the Lord will bless them. Ask that his hand will be upon them. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, I bless these ones from my heart. I ask, oh God, that you will lay your hands upon them. Heavenly Father, because you are the greatest of all fathers, you are the father of all fathers, Father, every one of us, in the name of Jesus, everything in their life that is giving them a source of concern, answer them today in the name of Jesus. Because it's Father's Day, Lord, give each and every one of us a gift in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Now jam those hands together for Jesus. Happy Father's Day.